The Front Page Podcast, named one of iTunes' best in 2010.
On Tuesday's Front Page, Apple Computer Chief Executive Steve Jobs is taking his second medical leave of absence in 2 years. That's raising questions about his long-term prognosis and Apple's future. Goldman Sachs' U.S. clients won't get to invest in Facebook after all, and Tunisia took steps toward democracy and reconciliation, freeing political prisoners and reaching out to longtime opponents, but keeping the old guard in key posts. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins after this. Our top story says Apple Computer Chief Executive Steve Jobs is taking a leave of absence. He says he's going to focus on his health. This comes a year and a half after he had a liver transplant and not quite 7 years after he had surgery for pancreatic cancer. He sent a message to Apple employees saying he'd still be involved in major decisions, but Apple didn't say how long he'd be on leave. He's widely seen as the heart and brain of Apple, so I asked Times reporter Miguel Helft what not having him around will mean for the company.
In the short term, it will not mean much. He has a very good management team around him, but on the long term, he's extremely essential. He's the guy who comes up with a lot of these ideas. He's the true visionary who can think and dream of products that we're going to want, even though we don't know we want. Apple has a pipeline of products that's usually between 1 and 3 years long, so whatever's going to come out over the next year is pretty well underway. We expect that there's going to be a new iPhone this summer. Before that, there's likely to be the second iPad in the spring. And beyond that, we expect they will continue, you know, revamping the Mac line of computers and other products.
Times reporter Miguel Helft. Also on Tuesday's Front Page, Goldman Sachs' richest U.S. clients won't get to invest in Facebook after all. The firm is worried about running afoul of securities regulators. It is going ahead with foreign investors. In all, the offering Goldman arranged valued Facebook at $50 billion. Tunisia named a unity government with some holdovers from the ousted president's regime. That sent some demonstrators back to the streets, complaining the new government was really no different, even though officials from some opposition parties were given lesser posts. Later, Interior Minister Ahmed Fria went on television and said 78 protesters had died and 94 had been injured in clashes before the president stepped down. Here in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo didn't seem upset when television ads criticizing state government started running last week. The group sponsoring the ads is called the Committee to Save New York. What the ads didn't say was the committee was Cuomo's idea. He's borrowing a page from organized labor as he tries to organize business leaders to offset the power of unions that already do a lot of advertising. Ivory Coast strongman Laurent Gbagbo is facing sanctions aimed at getting him to step aside without the military having to step in, but he's not getting the message. Tuesday's Times says he's squeezing banks and businesses for cash to keep the government afloat. Last week, Gbagbo's aides pressured the all-important cocoa industry to pay export taxes in advance. One businessman says Gbagbo is looking for $90 million to make it to the end of the month. New York Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez has his marching orders. They are, don't mess this up. Times reporter Greg Bishop says the team didn't insist he win games by himself. They asked him not to lose them. Sanchez got so good at not losing games that he became a major factor in actually winning. On Sunday, he threw 3 touchdowns against New England. That carried the Jets into the AFC Championship game next week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Inside Tuesday's Times, a look at aides in Washington who scan and summarize so their bosses start the day well prepared. For the aides, that means getting up long before sunrise. They check websites and blogs before turning on the morning shows on television. Times reporter Ashley Parker says Washington traffics in information, and as these staff members are learning, who knows what, and when he or she knows it, can make all the difference. Defense Minister Ehud Barak shook up Israeli politics by leaving the left-leaning Labor Party. He says Labor has drifted too far from the mainstream. He also said he's tired of the pressure to withdraw from the government over the lack of progress on peace talks. Barak is forming a smaller centrist faction. It will be part of the governing coalition. Tuesday's Business Day section says GE wants to remain an important supplier to Chinese aviation as China tries to challenge Boeing and Airbus. This week, while Chinese President Hu Jintao is visiting the U.S., GE plans to sign a joint venture agreement. It calls for GE to share sophisticated airplane electronics, including some of the same technology used in Boeing's state-of-the-art 787 Dreamliner. Here in New York, a landlord is suing over renovations the tenant paid for, renovations that cost $81 million. The building is across from Macy's in Midtown Manhattan. Owner Charles Cohen says tenants Peter and Anthony Malkin broke a 1963 lease by making structural changes. He says they shouldn't have put a new glass facade on the 26-story building. He wants the lease terminated. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.